Heavenly Father, we're thankful for yet another Sunday that you've afforded us to come around your word and focusing our thoughts on you, Lord. Just ask and pray that you would open our eyes, open our ears, Lord, that we may look in our lives, Lord, to see where's our walk with you. And Lord, where we can improve, where we can do better, what we can do better, Lord, that would be to your honor, to your glory. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this day. We pray for those that are not here, Lord, those that are will be traveling today as well. Pray for safe travels for them. And Lord, just ask in this day that your mercy would be upon each and every one of us. We thank you for this, and we praise you, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. For this morning's meditation, turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. We're going to read the first 21 verses. Philippians chapter 3, first 21 verses. And as we read this chapter, I want to pose a question. And the question is, where am I in my walk with Christ? Then I'm going to ask the question, where are you in your walk with Christ? And collectively as a group, where are we in our walk with Christ? So if you can turn to me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, first 21 verses. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now telling you even weepingly, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know, I can't answer the question. I can't answer this question for anybody but for myself. Where am I in my walk with Christ? And I guess it's my prayer that today that whether it be this evening, whether it be when we have alone time, maybe throughout the week, that we ask ourselves that question. Where are we in our walk with Christ? And along with that, I'm going to pose another question. How would you describe your experiences with Christ? Is Christ active in yours and my life? You see, life with Christ is a progressive, or should be, a progressive, transforming life. To be a Christian is to be a follower of Christ. And to be a follower of Christ, there are three things that we need to be doing. Number one, we need to be moving. Number two, we need to be growing. And number three, we need to be evolving. And as we think about these three aspects of our lives of being a Christian, and we look at what Apostle Paul wrote, we can see where he is at. But I'd like to talk this morning about four stages that we go through as Christians. The beginning stage, the learning stage, being a role model or imitating stage, and the stage of my life being the message of Christ. So let's look at the first stage, the beginning stage. In Bible class this morning, we had a comment that was made about Nicodemus. John 3:17 talks about Nicodemus coming to Christ and asking him, "What should I do to be saved?" And Jesus responded, "Marvel that I say not unto you that you must be born again." See, Nicodemus was a ruler. He was religious, but he was a ruler of the Jews. And an interesting fact is that he says he went to Christ in a time where there was nobody around him at night and posed the question, "What must I do to be saved?" See, that's the beginning stages of a Christian. That's one that's been convicted by the Spirit. That's one that knows that the life that he's living is not an adequate life. It's not a life that's going to get him into heaven. And what does that mean to be born again? We talked about it this morning, accepting Jesus in our heart. And there's nothing that we can do, there's nothing that we can say on our own that would get us there. And then once we go through this regeneration process and we accept Christ as our Savior, we are then justified because we've accepted that Christ died on the cross for our sins. We've accepted that he's forgiven our sins. And Scripture tells us, and we accept this, that we've been adopted into his family. Has God regenerated you? Have you been justified? Have you been adopted and part of the family of God? 1 Peter 2:2 writes, "Then as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." So in this beginning stage, our desire, Scripture tells us, as we read his word, we have the desire of the milk of the word. And this is a beginning stage where we then start to grow that goes into the next stage. And this stage, the beginning stage, is kind of a tough stage for a lot of people. We heard in Bible class that those that don't want to come to Christ because they don't feel they are adequate. They don't feel they're good enough. They don't feel that they're righteous enough, if you will, to come to Christ. And then we have those on the opposite spectrum that say, no, I'm better than this person, or I'm better than that person. He calls himself to be a Christian. I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to look like that. Matthew 7:14 says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So if we look at the learning stage, you know, I chose this scripture in Philippians, which we read over and over again. You know, it's interesting because Apostle Paul writes in the beginning, and he says, To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but it is for you it is safe. So for us to go back and revisit this chapter, I think there's so much in this chapter that I don't think we can ever get sick and tired of rereading and going back and being reminded. And we see the example that Paul has left for us. But he says in Philippians 3 through 10, he says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win him. So the next stage we go into is wanting to know more of him. It's the learning stage. And I don't know if you're in this stage. I don't know if you ever get out of this stage, or as Christians we ever get out of this stage, or we kind of don't even want to get into this stage. We can look around and see that there are Christians that call themselves, people that call themselves Christians, but are they living that life as a Christian? Do you really want to know Jesus? And I'm going to ask that question, do I really want to know Jesus? You know, Apostle Paul, when he wrote, he says, that in verse 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. How much more of Jesus do you and I want to know? Or are we comfortable at the level that we know about him, and therefore we don't want to dig deeper, we don't want to know more, we don't want to have a closer relationship with him because we feel that we have a close relationship as it is? But do we want to know him? Do we want to know the power of his resurrection? Do we want to know the fellowship of his sufferings? Do you really want to know Jesus, and on what level? Is he your longing? Is he your primary desire? Do you put all of your trust in him? And is your life's passion to know him in as many ways as you can, as possibly can be known? Then we go to the next stage. The next stage is the role model stage. You see, because the more you know of him, the more I know of him, the more we know of Jesus Christ, the more we will be like him. What can we give on our own for the cause of Christ? You see, there's nothing that I could do or I could have done that would give me the righteousness or that would qualify me to be part of the body of Christ. The only thing that I can give Christ is my unrighteousness, which he nailed on the cross, and we talked about in Bible class this morning, which he then paid for and then gave us and gave me his righteousness. Colossians 2:14 says, I have no good qualities, period. The only thing I could give Christ is my unrighteousness. And he nailed it to the cross and paid it for it by his death. For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So if Christ's righteousness is in me and you, and we are to be that role model for him, when people see me, do they see Jesus? When people see you, do they see Jesus? The sanctified man is no longer who he used to be, and he has become and is becoming somebody else because of the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And the more that we want to know him, the more we become like him. John 3:30 teaches us that we must decrease so that he can increase. Christian maturity is when you are no longer thinking like your old self, but you have been changed into a new person. Then let's look at this last stage, which is your life, or your life, your message? We live in a country where there are a lot of Christians, predominantly a Christian country. But does everybody that says they're a Christian have that same affection for Christ? Your life and my life is our most comprehensive witness for Christ and for imitating him. You know, good teachings is great, but the most effective message will be the one perceived, the one that they see in each of us and our lives that we live. We live lives before them, but our lives speak louder than the words we teach them. Your life is your message. If I found this quote, and I like it, and I'm going to share it with you. It says, if our message is Christ, then it is imperative our lives give a clear echo of Christ, so others will not be confused between what we say and what we do. It may be better not to name the name of Christ if your life contradicts that profession. Let me read it again. If our message is Christ, then it is imperative our lives give a clear echo of Christ so others will not be confused between what we say and what we do. It may be better not to name the name of Christ if your life contradicts that profession. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm speaking to myself first. Does my life and my message portray Christ? Am I passionate about Christ? And if we read the book of Philippians like we did, or this chapter, we can get the sense of the passion that Apostle Paul had for Christ. We can sense the passion of where he was in his life and where he wants to be and where he wants to go. So do you and I have that same desire? Do we have that same passion? The truth is, your life is your message, regardless of what your life is. If you're passionate about Christ, then your message is going to be passionate. If you say you're a Christian but do not live a Christian life, or if you say you're a Christian but do not live as a Christian, then that is your message. Book of Ephesians 4:22-24, we're encouraged. Apostle Paul, when he writes to them, says that you put off concerning the formal conversations, the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, I made a comment in Bible class this morning. Apostle Paul understands very well in Romans 7. And he says, those things that I should be doing are the things that I do not do. And those things that I do are the things that I should not be doing. This is the struggle that you and I have. But as we talked about in Bible class this morning, we're thankful for God's grace and His mercy, that He would forgive us if we ask Him, if we confess. Colossians, I want to read Colossians 3:1-17. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all, put on these things which are charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye are also called in one body. Be thankful. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do or deed, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So, do you have a genuine desire to know the one who died for you and saved you? Is the life you're living progressively evolving into a role model for Christ? And are people being drawn to you and thus to Christ by your example? So where are you? Where am I in our walk with Christ? I'm thankful a few weeks ago at Pine Valley we had the theme of running the race. And in the Bible classes there were very good discussions of one who is running the race. And we're all running this race. And there were many, many questions that were brought forth. Like, what are you doing to condition yourself? Are you on the sidelines watching everybody running past you? Are you making fun of those that are running by you? Are you judging those that are running by you, and you yourself are sitting on the fence? Or what is it that we are the nutrition that we're taking in that sustains us. What is it that we're taking in as Christians? Is it bogging us down? Is there a sin that is holding us down that is preventing us from running this race? Because also in this race, there are different stages. And perhaps we're at a point where we're just walking and not running. Perhaps we're at a point where we're sprinting, but soon finding out that we're running out of energy. Or we're running this marathon, and as we're looking into God's Word and studying and feeding and eating correctly and being in His Word, that gives us the nutritional value and the energy that we need to maintain us at that steady pace. I like 1 Corinthians 9:24 that says, "Know ye that they which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fighting, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it to subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And that goes back to being that message. Is my life that message for Christ? So as we leave this place, it's my prayer that we consider the question, and not only consider the question, but let's go back and look at those that were penned down in Scripture. We look at Apostle Paul and his examples. We see what the passion that he had for people, for living a life that is one that others can see in him. And it's my prayer that we too may take that to heart, that we too may look into that and say, you know, I want to be as passionate as Apostle Paul for Christ. May God bless his word.